episode 34. My name is Mark, and I play Guige, the human fighter paladin. This is not an out-of-character episode, as typical with me announcing. This is a Guige-specific episode. As all our heroes have parted ways for now, let's introduce our GM and guest player.
I'm James, and I'm the GM of Sometimes Heroes.
Hi, I'm Alex, and I'll be playing Dupe, the dwarf fighter.
Last we left, Guige was sitting in the Toe Jam and Churl, as it seems various members of the party have gone and done a few things before apparently leaving the next day. He was currently sitting with Lahu, and I suppose that's where we're going to pick up.
Indeed.
But after he leaves Sid's Toes, Guige will return to Hamel's Crossroads, where he will meet Dupe to return the hammer. Where am I supposed to meet Odette, who should also be at the Lucky Coin, and see if there's any investment opportunities in Hamel's Crossroads for his newly acquired wealth.
Yeah, sounds good. So first, you were drinking with Lahu as the rest of the party had gone off to do various other things. They will come back and you guys will reconnoiter, but for the most part, you guys have decided to leave quickly as it seems like something is going down. And some of you leave to get information, some of you leave to meet previous engagements like yourself. As you're sitting with Lahu, what did you want to ask him about?
Are his men still here?
They are here, but they are at another table. They seem to be having a good time.
Oh, well then at that point, Guige will see that Lahu's joined him and then say, oh, let's just go to the table, sit with your men.
I hope you'll forgive me. One cannot always be themselves when they are with their subordinates.
That's fine, because I was actually hoping to ask you a little bit about yourself, and maybe you don't want to cross that sort of professional, friendly line with your men.
He looks at you a little quizzically and then orders a stiffer drink.
Guige will have Well, previously, I think he was probably drinking water or cider. No, I was drinking cider because he said
he ordered a cider.
Guige will order a sake as he had in the basement. And he will then say, your mom started Tahan's third line?
He just sighs and puts his hand in his head, but then like regains his composure pretty quickly. Everyone asks first about my mother when they know me. She is a famous warrior. And yes, she started the third line. The most respected of warriors came from all over to join her.
Would I think that the Avzal is sexist in any way? Like, would this be notable?
No, you would know that the Avzal is like a strict meritocracy.
Okay, but would there be perhaps sexist undertones elsewhere, like within the Empire?
Yeah. I mean, the Empire is pretty gender normative.
Right now, but maybe. Or in various places like the Freelands or Medina. Okay. Guige will then say, well, she must have been a notable warrior if she could start her own mercenary group within the Avzal.
Yes, yes, yes. She absolutely was and is. I mean, she has gotten on in years and probably can no longer take the best of young warriors, but she's very skilled. And an eternal hurdle of which I will never leap over.
So Guige will take a drink and say, yeah, I imagine it wasn't easy growing up like that, having to learn combat when you're probably still just a child.
No, that's expected of most Avzal citizens. The major part is I was, by my pedigree and honorable mother, I was accepted to a very prestigious school in Zolgrada. But these places, they're very competitive.
Mm.
My position was constantly doubted because of my bloodline.
Ah, now I see why you were so put off by Carter's remarks.
Yes, people would jump at the chance to know that I am a dishonorable rogue.
Yeah, no, that wasn't an easy place to get through. I mean, I took a full fire blast in the face, and I'm pretty sure I only survived because I had some water from one of the water portals.
He goes on to press you about your story, because that sounds interesting. He does at some point scoff if you tell him the full truth, as he just thinks you are exaggerating for effect. But he's a generally good listener if you tell him the whole story.
So what, I mean, you don't want me to recount the whole story, so what? No. Would you just tell you, you want me to say what parts I do and don't tell him?
If you purposely leave something out, I assume you're just telling him the, like, I fought a dragon, it was awesome part of the story.
Oh, so he's asking for my story within the Cold Forge, not necessarily my whole story.
Yeah, because you just brought it up. Like, he will press you for details.
Guige is going to tell him all of it.
He leans back, takes another drink, and then folds his fingers and says to himself, maybe it was best we didn't fight in front of the Cold Forge. I would have worn you down a little bit, and you wouldn't have this great story now.
Oh, yeah, I'm certain that's what would have happened, Guige teasingly suggests.
Is there anything else you want to ask him or talk about, or do you guys just have a pleasant conversation for the rest of the evening?
Guige at one point will say, have you heard of the phrase stone-touched?
He furrows his eyebrows and thinks about it for a second. I'm not familiar with this phrase, but I'm not as proficient in the human tongue as I am in my own.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I speak goblin, don't I? Low goblin?
You know absolutely that you don't know the high goblin translation of stone touched, and there is no specific word for that in low goblin.
To the best of my ability, I will say stone touched in low goblin, which will probably sound something like rock inside or inside rock.
He laughs and slaps the table and he's like, "You mean the small rock that you must pee out?"
Gij makes very a face. Painful. Gij makes a face and is like, no, I don't think that's what I meant. But I'm glad to know that's what it's called now, so I won't say that if I'm ever in fancy Abzal setting.
Probably for the best.
Just because he appreciates Lahu's help from earlier, he will then tell him, "I don't normally tell people this, but I'm what's called stone-touched. If I remove this blindfold, I can see things. It's kind of difficult to manage. And stone-touched, well, there was a scroll and I was hoping I could have grabbed it to maybe learn more about what's happening. But, I mean, you saw how dangerous that place was. I mean, you barely got out of there. You lost a couple of your men in the process."
"One of them was a very good man. The other two, I do not miss so much."
Which was the one that you felt was a good man?
"Ket. She was a thief, but she was proficient at her job, a professional. And the other two were, well, one was a goblin in very poor company. And the other was, I felt he did not deserve to be in our organization. He was too bloodthirsty."
"Well, I guess fate sorted that out for you then."
"Yes, fate gives and takes." He asks if you don't mind him looking at your blindfold.
Sure. If I close my eyes and put my hand over my eyes, that's like as good as not wear my blindfold, right?
Yes, if you just close your eyes, you're fine.
Okay, then. He will reach back behind his head and start to undo his blindfold. He'll say, "If you don't mind, don't tell too many people about this. Rather, don't tell anyone. People tend to think I'm crazy when they learn it." And he will close his eyes and then hold his blindfold out.
He takes it and you hear him muttering some arcane words. And he looks it over. Like, he's clearly turning it over in his hands. You can just hear cloth shifting between hands over the din of the bar. And he wraps it around your head again and ties it firmly. "Whatever it is, it's a pretty powerful enchantment. Who gave it to you?"
"I don't know if he had a name. It was an old man. A vagrant who was stuck in the rain, and I let him take one of the spare beds in my house."
"I was going to say that sounded rude of you not to get someone's name, but then I guess you did help him, and did he ask not to be named?"
"He didn't give me one."
"Hmm. This is a strange meeting. Perhaps it was divine. Many gods walk the earth as vagrants."
"I would agree with you, but the time leading up into that was even stranger. I was seeing a lot of things, so it's kind of hard to tell what was strange and what wasn't."
Perhaps it was demons then. He smiles toothily at you.
Wouldn't surprise me. I hope it's not though, because we can't get any more cursed items fixed.
As you retell the story enough that he gets that reference, do you want to ask him about anything else specifically?
No, I think for the most part, that's all I really wanted to say to him. I would just once again offer him thanks and say that I was glad we didn't have to fight.
He reiterates now that he's heard your story that he even more so wants to not necessarily meet you in battle, but be in a battle with you or against you. It doesn't matter to him.
"Well, hold up. Now I gotta know what you've heard."
"Just the story you've told me. It's unbelievable."
"Oh, I thought you were saying that he heard what we did, what me and the group did in Medina."
No. He's only...
"Okay. Gotcha. Okay."
He does say that he's heard your name mentioned before by people, but he doesn't know any details.
"Okay. So no, at that, Gij will just make pleasant conversation until like maybe someone like perhaps Sten will come back or Galena comes back or whatever. And then I guess he'll just wrap the night, go to his room, do some writing."
And absolutely at some point, especially when once Sten and the others get back, he is a little deeper into his cups and goes back to his men and they start jovially singing some songs. Good times. So the night passes. You wake up in the morning. Everybody's getting ready to leave. You realize, looking at maps, that you have two viable routes to take back to Hamel's Crossroad. You can go back through the Vlovale, past the Cold Forge to where there's a river that heads south, and that one goes very close to Hamel's Crossroad. It would be the quickest way to go down and through friendly territory, but you would be immediately leaving the group. And then the other is to go with the rest of the party to Blackhill and head down through Umbria via trade roads and then back to Hamel's, which would take much longer, but you could still do it in about a 10-day.
Okay. So I go to Black Hill, and then I would go down the trade routes, and then would I go to Sanguine Hills, or would I cut across? I'm Sanguine Fields.
You could probably cut across pretty easily. If you didn't want to go through the Sanguine Fields, which is not a particular location of note. It's more a just very fertile valley.
Mm-hmm. If I knew we were doing more than one session, I absolutely would take the road from Black Hill to Sanguine Fields and see what it's about. And even though the elves make me skittish, I guess I'm going to try and take the river down to Hamels. Because who knows, maybe if I'm in a bad spot, the elves help me. I help them.
Okay, so as you head out of the town, south back into the forest, and then west a ways, you actually
No. I want to buy some potions before I leave.
Okay, you can buy stuff. You buy potions and possibly scrolls.
Okay.
I'm assuming cool. You want to buy some scrolls of sending.
That is correct, yes.
So if you learn something urgent, you can ask people questions.
Mm-hmm.
Purchases happen, and there is no way you could run out of money at the moment, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
You head south for a day or so before actually running into a familiar face, a young man with small little branches growing out of his hair.
Lorano. You should wave at him. Hey!
He waves and greets you in common and then in Elvish and asks where you're going and in general just guides you the rest of the way.
Cool.
Knowing your reputation takes you to the nearest dock to the river.
Very cool. All right then. Yeah, I guess I'll just ride it on down. Unless something terrible happens and then I have to kill some sort of sea beast. Or someone ambushes my boat. I don't know.
A bunch of Ashwin warriors are sort of manning a vessel, and once they hear who you are and that you know the Archdruid, they're just like, sure, yeah, come on down. And they ferry you down this river that they call the Mahuril.
The Mahuril, okay.
But you know that the humans call it the Wrinkled River because it twists a lot.
Hmm, okay.
You spend a couple of days with these guys, and they sort of fill you in on what's been happening, at least according to them, which is, so far as they know, mobilization has stopped on both sides, and an Ambersun contingent has moved in to where that village used to be.
Not Wodenkirk. Was it Wodenkirk? No.
Yes, Wodenkirk.
Oh, Wodenkirk, okay.
According to the agreement that they signed. In general, they don't seem super pleased about it. Some of them are kind of dropping that, like, we should have just fought. Now we're giving up stuff when we could have retaken some of the land that they've taken from us. But, like, overall, cooler heads prevail.
Hmm. Geej will subtly hint as he rides, you know, as he takes the ferry and spends time around these guys, that he believes the Abzal, or at least elements of the Empire, of the Abzal Empire, in some part orchestrated this. So he will caution them to keep an eye on them, but not to seek out a fight, because that's essentially what it wants, because then it can very easily just, you know, start carving up land.
That's a very subtle and dangerous game to play with people who are arguing over whether or not to re-spark a conflict. Do you want to try to drop that?
Because here's what I'm thinking is, like, I'm annoyed that they're still doing these shenanigans and that they use someone else as a proxy. So if the elves went and fought them, that would kind of please me. Like, if the elves actually had to fight the people who were responsible to begin with. Yeah, I'll be real subtle with it, though. I'll say that it looked like groups within the Abzal Empire were trying to make a grander move on Medina, and that was a way to do it. But it was far beyond them, the powers of the stag and all that. But for the most part, like I said, he's going to caution not to fight them because that's really what they want. It would just make it easier for them to just take over.
Okay, so roll a persuade.
And then James is like, guess what? You just altered the course of season 3.
Possibly.
What did I roll? I'm going to scroll over down. I rolled a 24.
Not bad. The men around you initially start getting their war face on. They're looking pretty mad about it. And like, we should tell people and we should dismantle that place and then actually go north and attack their trade routes because they are vulnerable to us. But then you really caution that, like, maybe you should just tell your leaders.
Yeah.
They realize the wisdom in that.
Yeah, he explains that for them it's a chess game and that the best thing to really do to counter is just to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you head down out of the forest into the clear cut. You don't actually see Wodenkirk, but in the distance you see several disparate camps of soldiers, both before you get out of the forest and after.
Oh.
But the military presence that you saw previously is very much drawn down on both sides.
I will ask the, what were they called, the Ashwin?
Yes.
I'll ask the Ashwin if they know where the people who were at Wodenkirk went. I want to see if I can...
pretty much just shrug and say south.
Okay, then. I won't ride all the way to Hamel's. I will probably... maybe I'll get off... like, I see that the river crosses with the road just south of Wodenkirk. Mm-hmm. So I'll try and get off there, because I do want to see if I can find Tenlit. She's probably going to be super mad at me.
Okay, so you get off of the boat there, and they kind of are happy to leave. They seem to be a little bit jumpy in this territory, even though you guys, like, right as you crossed the border, got checked. And now it's not threat of war to have, you know, three warriors and a dude come over the border.
Mm-hmm.
But you get off, and north of Hamel's, there isn't really a proper road. But there is a bridge over the river here where you get off, and you see around you various scattered farms that seem to be not in the best of shape. If you'll recall, last time you were here, there were an army and a bunch of rebels duking it out around all these farms, and so most of them are burned out still.
Okay.
But you head south on the so-called road, which is just sort of a worn rut where wagons went.
And I'm going to ask, if across the first homestead I come to, I'm going to ask them, you know, what the situation's like, and, you know, where I might be able to find Tenlit.
Okay, so you stop by the first place that still has people there.
Hmm.
It's a family about a half day south of where you get off the boat, and they look nervous when you come up to the place, and the head of the household, a somewhat middle-aged man with, like, a big white beard, comes out and says, what do you want?
Oh, I'm looking for Tval Tenlit.
I don't know anybody by that name.
Oh. Okay. Does anyone in your family need help? Are any of you hurt?
He looks confused and then sees the imagery on your shield, or the imagery on your...
Lapel.
Oh, sorry. And he does a sort of short bow.
Mm-hmm.
No one's hurt, but down the road away, a young boy named Ryan broke his leg. If you could help with them.
Mm.
Sorry, we don't have any offerings for the church.
Oh, no, it's... it's fine. Is it difficult out here? Are you able to afford what you need to keep this farm running?
I mean, we do okay. We survive.
Hmm. Okay, then. Guige will thank him for the information. And then a gold is what? 10 silver, and a silver is 10 copper.
Mm-hmm.
And like gold, one gold probably be enough to buy what? Two cows or something?
No. Cows are pretty expensive because they are a lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you want to give this guy some support, gold would be reasonable.
We will thank him and then give him a gold. And then he'll lean forward as to wink. Of course, you can't see it because you're wearing a blindfold. He'll say, this is for the information. Thank you.
I didn't give you any information.
You told me there was a young man down the road that needed help. That's good information.
He just looks confused as you walk away. Like, his worldview is shattered. What, people just give money for good deeds? What?
It's not my fault. There's not more kindness in the world. Also, low-key, he feels like, man, you know, I know this isn't Wodenkirk, but I wish I could do more to fix the situation. And he'll head for this this kid who's got a broken leg, apparently.
You pass through a couple of farms, and this kid, you are able to use your pretty limited magic, not to fix it completely, but to accelerate the healing quite a bit. And families seem thankful and feed you, basically.
Mm.
But within the next couple of days, you reach Hamel's Crossroad.
They didn't know what happened to Tenlit?
No one seems to know who Tenlit is.
Mm.
They do, when you ask about it in general, say that the people of Wodenkirk passed through a little while ago.
Okay. And I ask before I leave how they were affected with the whole situation that went down.
You get a lot of blank stares and a lot of, it's a long story.
Guess what then? They get a gold too.
So do you want to, every farmstead you pass that seems to be having a lot of trouble, which is all of them?
How many farmsteads is that?
Let's go with 10.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Just along the road as you do this.
I'll remove 10 gold from my inventory.
Okay. Yeah, they all seem thankful, but they seem to credit it mostly to your being a man of the cloth and that you must be on a mission of mercy.
Guige will calmly remark, we should all be on a mission of mercy, despite what god we follow.
They all enthusiastically agree, and occasionally you hear people in the background be like, the Order of the Silver Crescent's like the best. Like, I hate those Order of the Flaming Rose assholes. Because basically, the Order of the Silver Crescent is as close as this world gets to the Red Cross kind of organization. So you get into Hamel's, and you made excellent time. You
I'm sorry, Alex.
Especially with the help of the elves navigating you downriver, you were able to travel day and night.
Yeah.
Yes, the Ashwin. Now you are in Hamels. The city looks the same at the first glance. The military camp remains just outside the west wall, but it's, again, drawn down significantly. Maybe a quarter as many soldiers are there.
Mm.
Many of the buildings that were under the frenzied construction last time you were here are now just cordoned off and half built with nobody working on them, really.
Yeah, because there's something fishy about them buildings.
And there appears to be like a general malaise around the city, which had been bustling before, but is now not depressed, but just more normal. So you're in town. Where do you go? What do you do?
Well, first I want to know how many days early am I for my meeting with Dupe or Odette?
As this is not a time of easy, convenient travel, when you arrange to meet with somebody, it's usually like sometime during this week.
Okay.
Hopefully, between these like series of days, we will both try to be in this town. You got there like right on time.
Okay, then I'm going to go straight to Eden's Lucky Coin. No, Eve's Lucky Coin. Wait, it's Eve's, right? Eve's Lucky Coin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to head on over there. Okay, so I came in from what, the northwest entrance?
Yes.
All right. Market, tabulary, Lucky Coin's over there. There's the Gilded Sage. Cool. I'm just going to head in, and I want to walk through the marketplace, and I want to get a general... What time of day is it?
Let's say it's morning.
Okay. I want to get a feel of how the town is going in the marketplace and get a look at the temple.
I'm going to say that like that's pretty much the gist of what you got from it from coming into the city. The temple itself looks the same, but people, as you are walking by, seem less jazzed about it as they were before. Because mm-hmm. when you were there previously, people were like, man, this temple is awesome. Mm-hmm. People are generally like,
And there's no Connor standing outside with a big old piece of parchment?
Nope.
Ah, memories. I want to walk through the market and see if the guy that sold me the sword's still there.
No. And you would know he's not there because he got, I mean, unless he got screwed, but he got picked up as an Offsol blacksmith.
Wait, how do I know that?
Because Maltish pulled some strings to get you that sword. Basically got the guy picked up as a royal smith.
Oh, I thought he was just paid.
Nope, he got favors instead.
Oh, well, all right then. I was going to be like, hey, I still got it. I'm going to walk by the constabulary. And does it look any different from the outside?
No, but you do see some parchment on the side of like, you know, where the wanted and notices mm-hmm. things are. You look at it and you see that the date was a little while ago, but the Lord Beck Napon was executed.
Sweet paylor.
For incompetence and corruption and treason.
Gige tugs lightly as a cravat and goes, ho ho.
But the paper just hasn't been pulled down, but it was a couple days ago.
Are there people moving in and out of the building?
Yeah, it's the constabulary, so like people don't look excited to be here, but like they're going in and out.
I'm going to step in just briefly and see if I see any familiar faces. And if I don't, I'll ask who replaced Napon.
You don't see any familiar faces. Like, you recognize that sergeant from before that mm-hmm. was going to throw you in jail for kicking somebody in the face in the middle of the square.
Right, right.
But when you ask around, all the guards seem very pleased with their new boss, who is Clara Kalen.
Yay! I kind of want to ask to talk to her for like a moment.
You can certainly be like, I would like to speak with the captain of the guard.
I'll ask to speak with the captain of the guard.
Okay, they say you can either wait an hour now or arrange for a meeting later. She's busy.
Well, yeah, understandably. Gish will arrange for a meeting, I guess, the next day.
Okay.
James, will you let me play multiple days in Hamels?
Yes, you are going to be here multiple days, no matter what. Okay, so you get a meeting with Clara. Where do you go next?
Oh, not more than Lucky Coin. I just stopped by those places because they were on the way to the Lucky Coin.
As you're on your way to the Lucky Coin, it looks less busy than it was previously, but still doing business. The Gilded Sage also seems to be doing all right across down the street. But you step into the Lucky Coin, and almost immediately you see two people who look down and wave to you, and you see Connor and Odette.
Oh, Guige is surprised that Connor's still here and that Odette's there. Like, he would expect that she would show up at some unexpected moment. She's not really one for walking around in the daytime and being a normal person. He waves happily and he sees them and he walks on and was like, hey, Connor, you're still here?
He looks up at you and, Guige, we're just having breakfast. And no, I am back. And when you look at him closer, he is now wearing pretty nice clothes, and he has a pretty wide-brimmed hat that you look at and you're like, this guy's crimping my style.
No, no, no. I respect any person who's brave enough to wear a wide-brimmed hat. I am not going to feel jealous or slighted. I'm going to honor and respect the bravery of that hat.
He also doesn't have his token giant backpack anymore. He has a small book bag.
Hey, looks like you're moving up.
Yeah. Being of the Third Order has its perks. And guess what my first job is? He, like, points at you with both hands.
Wait, what?
Odette just leans forward and puts her fingers together like, money, money, money.
I don't understand. You need me to pay you?
He looks aghast for a moment. No. This fine young lady already did. She's secured my services for the next month, actually. I would have done it for free, but apparently we have a minimum fee? I didn't know that was a thing.
He's just even more confused, and he looks at Odette, and he's like, why did you hire Connor? What? What's happening? I don't understand.
She points to your head and then, like, makes magic fingers at it.
Oh, but why are you paying Connor? He would have done it for free.
Connor is like, I didn't have the equipment. I needed to lease it, which was quite expensive.
Wait, she's hiring you to help me with this, and he points to his head.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. I mean, I guess you're more competent than you were before, and I already like you, so.
Your confidence in me is overwhelming.
Well, you did burn us a couple times with the firebolt.
I'm not going to be doing anything fire today, probably.
Okay. Well, that's great. Fantastic.
Once they are finished eating and, you know, order you some food as well, they say they've secured a room in here already. And once they're done eating, bustle you inside. And Connor starts pulling almost, what's the singing lady who has the magical bag? Almost Mary Poppins style, starts pulling things out of his bag that shouldn't fit in there.
Ah, bag of holding. Nice.
And immediately starts absentmindedly being, okay, I want you to take your hat off, your shirt off, and anything that's magical or sentimental, please.
He removes his sword. I guess he puts all his gear aside. I don't think he has anything else that's magical. I'm kind of sentimental about my outfit. You want me to remove these?
Odette points at your cravat.
Okay. He says nothing more and gets serious for a moment and then removes his cravat, expecting to see some sort of response from Connor.
Connor is too distracted setting up things around you to even give it look. Like, he has these stands with little crystals on top, and he puts them in a geometric shape around you, and he starts pulling out, like, what are those things that you use to, like, measure people's heads? They're like little clamps, except you measure different dimensions of the skull, and it's like that crazy bunk science of, but he pulls out one of those, starts measuring your head, and sets up a series of lenses right in front of your face, and eventually it seems like he's ready to go, and he says, okay, so I'm going to need you to take a deep breath, and I'm going to have Odette here take off your blindfold.
Okay.
And I just want you to stare forward and try not to think about anything.
Okay. I think I can
actually
do that.
Think about... Never mind. Don't think about anything. And then he...
Wait, but what were you going to say? Think about what?
I was going to say think about bread, but then I realized that might be a bad idea. I don't know. Think about bread. See what happens.
Bread's heavy. And I don't mean heavy as in, like, fibrous and nutrition. I mean heavy as in emotional. I'll think of nothing.
Okay, he puts his eyes down and you see, like, giant Connor eyes on the other side facing you through these lenses. It just gives Odette a finger, like, I'm good to go. And he starts to chant a little bit and the crystals around you start to light up. But at this point, Odette rips the blindfold off of you. And for a moment, nothing happens. But then visions start to come in and you hear Connor stop chanting. And he's like, just hold on. Okay. All right, put it back on. And before the visions get too weird, although you do see a bunch of people in this room, a bunch of distracting stuff, by virtue of this setup, you are able to sort of stay in the moment more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
You see a number of swirling things around Connor as he moves his fingers. You realize that was part of the casting. It's like he's pulling on little strings. Between the crystals, there are bright beams of light that seem to be piercing Odette, but nothing, like, she doesn't seem to be having any problem with it.
Right. Like she's a hologram and it's just passing through her or something.
Connor immediately goes to the table and starts sketching out a bunch of arcane runes. And he says, okay, great. That's all I need today. I'm going to start working on this, but I'm probably going to need another recording in, a couple weeks, see if anything changes, and that'll give me more information. Have you learned anything about your condition?
I'm stone-touched. He says, vaguely proud, even though he thinks it's probably elementary, to Connor.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I have quartz in the eye, but I think you knew that.
Right. I was intrigued by your case, so I went and dug into some tomes at the tower, but you've got a pretty clear case of stone touched. Most of the time, it's just chalked up to madness or dementia, but you've got an unusually aggressive case with very early onset symptoms. I'm going to try to get an idea of the extent of its progress and see what I can do about it. I mean, no one's cured it before, but if anybody can, Celestial Wizards.
Yeah, I believe that. I know they are researching all sorts of bizarre things that usually they solve or they disappear trying to resolve.
Yeah. But if I'm going to make a name for myself, I've got to do something big. And when Odette came and I saw this on the board of jobs that could be taken, I snapped at it. I saw your name, saw the impossible task before me, and I said, why not?
Yeah, and you won't go missing just trying to find out how to fix the rocks in my head.
Let's not discount that possibility. All the really good wizards go missing, so I don't want to not be one of them.
You're a young man. You've got time to work up to going missing, trying to solve the universe's mysteries.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I need, and I'm going to need some privacy. I need to work on some equations. Try to measure exactly how much of it is in you and how fast it's growing.
Okay. So what room are we in as this has all been happening, James?
You have actually been in now Eden's personal room, which has been untouched since you guys left, except for cleaning, probably.
Is Connor taking this room?
I mean, I can get a room at the inn. It's not a big deal, but I want to do this while it's fresh in my head.
Yeah. I mean, you have more privacy here. Okay. So you said in a couple weeks from now, so out of character, James, am I going to be in this town for a couple weeks?
No, I'm going to be following you around. Is that okay?
Oh, now we're in character. Oh, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always okay. I'm always okay to have you around. I'm afraid of you getting killed, but I'm always okay to have you around.
I'm sure I'll be fine. I've got maybe a month left until I'm required to do something else or show results. I have to prove that I'm here for a reason. But I'm planning on following you for a little bit, and I don't need to go into every dangerous place you go in. I just need to be able to have access to you every week or so.
That's true. Okay. Sure, that's fine. You stay here then. Work on the stuff.
We'll do.
Get squared away. And I guess I will start to leave the room. Does Odette come with me?
She does.
Oh, man. It's so weird that she's, like, with me again. Like old times, except my brain is not as good, but I have more information. So I guess we'll head down the hall. And I'll say to Odette, so I wasn't sure if I saw that right, but last time, you know, with the whole Olo thing, did you disappear?
She is wearing mostly black clothes and leather armor under it that's also black, but she has a cloak, and she just holds the cloak up and waggles it a little bit at you, does magic fingers again.
Huh. Where did you get that? This isn't some Abzal cloak, is it? Because I have one of those, and those usually come with, you know, a hidden price.
She basically tells you, no, long story, was on a job, found this, nice, didn't like the guy who had it, stole it.
Ah, okay. You should absolutely let Connor take a look at it, though, just in case it is cursed. Unless already did that.
She says, like, yeah, I did. Okay. He says it's fine. And then she basically signs a joke at you that's basically like, he said it's fine, and it took him 3 days to say it.
Was it because he was trying to do the research, or because he's still not used to talking to girls?
She shrugs, and then is like, I think he's just long-winded.
There's that, yeah. Okay, then. So as we get back to the main area, we don't see Dupe, do we?
No, so a couple of days are going to pass. While you're doing this, do you want to try to take care of some personal business as you were hanging out with Odette and Connor?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the time that passes, I'll ask her, you know, now that we have the privacy of Eve's lucky coin, I'll ask her, who was that exactly gave her the job? Who was the Hobgoblin? If she happened to recall the name or not.
She told you the first time that she didn't get a name.
But you turned in his helmet, did you not? Like, who did you turn it into?
She signs Dead Drop.
Oh. Mm.
And then she signs, I'm a professional.
No, she gives me a look that says, I'm a professional.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, then. You would be left in the dark.
And then she basically signs, nobody's tried to kill me yet, so that's nice.
Yeah, Sten is going that way now. So this Drago, I don't know. I'm still not very good with orc names. This Black Moon, hopefully he sorts it out. And then for the people he hired, won't be looking to follow up. He's just also going to give her a couple scrolls of sending. Like, now you can use this if you need me, or if I need to get to you. And hey, look, you don't have to talk to use it. He smiles.
She looks down at it and is like, you know that she absolutely needs to talk to use it. It has, you have to read the scroll aloud to activate it.
Okay, I'm going to get us a version where you don't have to talk to activate it. I'm going to make it happen.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. You can go get a couple of scrolls that are personally made, possibly even by Connor, to do that kind of thing. They'll be slightly more expensive. As Odette's talking to you and you're sort of catching up with her, she basically says she's been here for a few days already, and she's been doing a little bit of work for Ushat, collecting money. And then she's like, don't worry, I didn't kill anybody who didn't deserve it.
Well, as long as they weren't good people. I mean, you know I'd prefer you not kill people, but you know, I'm not going to hold it against you, just as long as it's not good people. Working for Ushat, though, huh? That does give me some ideas. I want to say Geesh will go and visit was it Shieldmother Stint? What was the reputable phrase?
Shieldmother.
Geesh will visit Venerable Shieldmother Stint in the temple and ask Odette if she wants to come along.
Odette leans back in her chair, which she has like a nice frosty mug of beer, and just shakes her head and laughs.
Kind of sort of came along, but fair enough.
She gives you like a, are you trying to convert me? Look.
It's more of a, there were people in the House of Stone who were very unhappy that I sabotaged their plan, or at least tipped off their plan to get sabotaged.
She reluctantly scoots back in her chair and puts her beer down and strings her bow.
Okay, you know what? You stay here, enjoy the drink. If I don't come back after a while, come looking.
She just smiles and nods.
Okay, usually go visit Stint.
Okay, you head over to the temple again. Once you step inside, you realize that whereas before the majority of the clerics there were wearing the regalia of the House of Stone, and now very few are, as you are headed towards that wing of the temple, you run into Brother Matthias.
Hey, I remember you.
He stops and looks a little confused for a moment just because a voice with no face. And then he looks and is like, oh, Geesh, pleasure to see you again. He is in the full regalia of the House of Stone. To what do we owe the pleasure today?
Oh, well, I was in town and want to stop by to see Stint. How's it been going for the House of Stone after, you know, the stuff?
Ah, well, unfortunately, the Venerable Shield Mother Stint is not here at the moment. She is further north. Her cool head is being prized as one of the few representatives that is allowed to be in the Amber Sun camp. As for the House of Stone, it will be some time before the people trust us again. I am pleased to be the High Father of this sect of the church, as Faust Etno has been forced to step down.
This is going to be dumb, but I want to use a Detect Evil on Matthias.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure he's a good dude, but I'm going to use Detect Evil.
What are the components of that spell? Because I'm pretty sure it's not a spell you can cast subtly.
It says Ruby Dust worth 50 GP, and it says Verbal and S. What is S?
So it means you need to like pull out components out of your bag, sprinkle them around, and then talk and wave your arms around to do this.
Okay, I won't cast Detect Good and Evil.
Okay. And it also costs 50 gold to cast.
Yeah. Geesh will nod and say, that's good. That's good. People shouldn't have to lose faith in their god just because someone perverted their belief.
It's true. The foundation of our church is sound. It's unfortunate that so much of it was built on, let's say, a shaky premise and greed. It was unfortunate, but now we will rebuild.
What exactly happened to Atno?
He was forced to go through some trials. The Order of the Scale, as well as the Order of the Flaming Rose, came in to interrogate us. Those that were found corrupted were expunged from the record.
Hmm.
Some were allowed to go through rituals of cleansing and repentance. Faust is still in those rituals.
Huh. Sten would like to hear that.
I'm sure he would.
Well, it looks like you're a good, honest man. You thankfully didn't have to do any rituals.
I had to do a few.
You know, by proxy.
Not being vigilant about your brothers is an error in and of itself.
But as far as errors goes, you know, it's not a terrible error to have.
It is not the worst. Anyway, is there anything else I can do for you while you're here?
Yeah, you said Venerable Shieldmother Stint was north? Where north?
She is in Wodenkirk, or the new fort, whatever they choose to name it.
Oh, shoot. I had passed through there. I didn't even think to go in.
That is a shame. Have you made progress in your journey as a paladin that you would wish to report to her?
Geesh makes a face like he smelled something bad. And I'm going to say I think the expression will speak for him to Matthias.
Perhaps it would be better if you made some progress, unless you require guidance before you speak to her again.
I see what you're saying. And yeah, my accolades aren't that great as a paladin, but I feel kind of good about, you know, my small level. I feel like even at this level, I'm still able to do some good. I just want to say hi.
I'm glad you are making the rounds and greeting people. But I have a meeting to attend to. Do you have anything else that you want to speak of?
No, I think that's all. Thank you.
I realize you might think this was interesting as you brought it to our attention. There's been a degree of deconstruction going on about these strange silver linings added to various buildings.
Right. Yeah, I think
we've been trying to reestablish what it looked like or was intended to look like as all the blueprints were destroyed.
Right.
There's been some disagreement, but most of the wizards seem to believe that it's a...
Oh, wait, can I guess?
Absolutely.
It's some sort of artifact that would channel energy across the land?
Well, you've made an excellent guess. They believed that it was some kind of shunt to possibly draw energy towards it.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
But we're pleased to report that it's been removed from most buildings. It's been a grueling effort as it was built into the foundation of some buildings. We've left some of it if it was deemed too difficult to remove. We believe that disabling the primary structure of it should be enough to make whatever it is inoperable.
You wouldn't happen to have a copy of what these shapes look like or like a map, would you? Just for my own personal reference?
I could have one drawn up.
That would help me out a lot. Thank you.
Okay. Come back in a couple of days. I'll have the scribe start at it.
Sure. Oh, I mean, I don't know if you guys need this. Usually, you know, Stint would ask me to give some offerings. Usual fish out a couple gold and give it to Matthias.
I will put this in the alms box.
Yeah.
Okay, so you bounce on out of there. Let's do the purchase of property off mic, just because we're grinded for time pretty hard now. So a couple more days pass, and at some point you are just coming out of your second observation by Connor, where he does pretty much exactly the same thing, except this time he tells you to think about something very stressful to you, a very harsh memory.
Okay, then.
And then you step back into the main room of Eve's Lucky Coin, and you see a dusty dwarf in the door, fully armored, with a large backpack on his back.
Hey, hey! Look who it is!
Guige. Hello, sir.
It looks like I beat you here.
Yes, indeed. I have short legs.
Oh, I am sure you had to kill your way through a wall of people to get here, so it's not a problem.
It was no walk in the park, but I made it.
I want to say that Odette and I are sitting at Vivi's private table, or maybe it's Edith's private table? The private table.
Sure.
I'll wave him over to the table.
I would approach.
You guys sit down at the table together.
Do you need a drink? Do you want a drink?
Absolutely.
Guige will just tell him to order whatever he wants off, whatever drink he wants off the menu. He'll cover it.
Anything strong.
I guess one of the bar maidens or waiters takes that order and runs off with it, James.
Yes, absolutely. Your drinks arrive shortly, and Odette pokes you and points at her empty drink, and you order another one of those, I guess.
No, I just give her the one that would have been given to me, because I don't really even drink.
Wait, what?
Well, I imagine the waitress brought two drinks, one for myself and one for Dupe.
Mm-hmm.
I would just give Odette mine because I don't really drink.
Oh, okay. All right.
Once the drinks are set down, I reach under the table and then place a hammer on it. Thunk. There you go.
Ah, I see you have been successful.
Successful is a relative term, but yes, Moop was able to move on.
What do you mean, move on?
Wait, you didn't know he was in the hammer?
He was in the hammer? How would I know that?
I don't know. Maybe you knew that as a cleric, he would end up in his, you know, radiant weapon. Look, man, I'm only a level 1 paladin. I don't really get these things that great.
Well, you know more than me.
Sort of make it short, I guess. We found the hammer. His body seemed to be intact. We recovered the hammer. His body then turned into a skeleton, and his spirit resided within it. I guess the radiant power was his own spirit. Then what? Oh, yes, he required Sten and the rest of us go into the Undercity to destroy a monster. Actually, is Connor with us?
Connor's in the room, frantically writing down all the readings he got.
I'll have to recount it for Connor later.
I'm sure you've already recounted it for Connor, because you've been together for like 4 days.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, then there's a giant portal with a horrible monster, eye monster thing, and there was a dragon, and it was infecting the dragon. We killed the dragon, and Sten smashed the portal, but he turned his demonic sword. Well, he summoned the demon from his demonic sword. We're probably going to have to kill that later. But yeah, after all that was done, we were able to send Moop on to the Shadowfell.
I see, I think.
Oh, we ran into Iria, who I think you know.
What?
Yeah, she's annoying.
Was she with you guys?
Yeah, yeah. She met us at the entrance to the Coalforge.
She's still alive? Is anyone else still alive, actually? Seems how you're here by yourself.
Yeah. I mean, typically, I think I'd be the first one to fall since I'm supposed to be up front. Yeah, no, Will survived. I think I was closest I came to dying. Eden took quite a few good hits. Sten took some good hits, too. I think Iria also kind of came close to dying. I would say she's more alive now, though, thanks to Moop. Because that eye thing was really staring down on her and put some sort of bad juju in her. But Moop cleared it out with most of what remained of his power. Since, you know, he didn't have to get rid of the cursed sword.
Surprised he wanted to help her.
I take it was kind of her fault you guys ended up in that situation?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, she triggered a golem, and I told him, like, look, you're going to have to fight that thing yourself or get turned into wall paste. I'm not going to help you. And that was before we even ran into, you know, Moop. Actually, was it, James?
No, you just run into Moop.
And that was right after we'd run into Moop. So I kind of figured that's what happened.
Sounds like the same old area. Does she still throw coils of rope at walls for no reason?
I feel like she might have done that once at a shelf, maybe.
She's rather dull for an elf.
Yeah, she's not as hoity as some elves I've met. Anyway, so about the bounty, he smiles.
Of course. And Dupe would pull out a large sack of coins and plop it on the table.
For this quantity, it'd probably be a chest, because a sack would be way unwieldy with 5,000 gold in it.
Oh, right. There is 5,000 gold that I'm carrying around.
So Dupe is even more weighed down than normal.
Yep. Good thing he's dwarf.
And he's very strong.
A chest in this case.
Fantastic. Did you already take your portion out?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, then. I guess I can speak to Ryzen later and have him sort this out with the Amber Sun, put it in our credit.
You see the manager, Riser Essen, just sort of walking the floor, and he is generally keeping an eye on you guys, just to see if you need anything.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll give him the instructions and be like, have this squared out with the Amber Sun, and have them put it with the Sometimes Heroes Company.
Okay, hand me that ledger, and I can write it in and have you sign it once I'm done.
Yes, that is how they said this works, so I will do that.
All right. He takes it back to his office, and he informs you that this establishment has made 500 gold in profits since you guys left.
Oh, deposit that as well. I think this way Eden will have access to it.
All right. Sounds good. Her name's on it, so why not? Mm-hmm.
He nods and then says, so where did you go after we parted ways, and what horrible things did you have to fight your way through to get back?
Well, since you've met Iria now... I attempted to meet with Iria in a city in the Freelands, but she was not around, obviously. Seems how she was for some reason with you guys. But she showed me a secret of hers, sort of. The invitation that I mentioned to you the last time we met was more of an invitation to show me something and not to actually meet her, so...
So yeah. Well, I take it.
Better than I anticipated. It turns out she has... a museum of sorts, which she, long story short, she made a memorial for Moop. That's what she wanted to show me.
That sounds right. She did seem pretty torn up about what happened to Moop, and I think that's really why she went back in there. Also, I think to steal treasure.
She's always looking to steal something.
Yeah. But I suppose it's not really stealing treasure. I digress.
Well, she seems to have maybe sort of changed a little bit, so... I might not want to kill her as much as before.
Yeah, I mean, if you still want her dead, that may sort itself out. You know, as reckless as she is.
You guys can see that Odette is just sort of like listening to the bandstand, which is playing something kind of poppy, but you see her and then like get a little bit of a trembly lip.
Mm-hmm.
Never has she heard something so heart-touching as maybe I don't want to kill her as much.
Yeah, every once in a while, Guy's just glancing over at her. Because she communicates through body language, so he's actively listening to her as he talks to Dupe.
Are you guys recruiting or something? Who is that?
Oh, this is Odette. She's a friend of mine. From, he looks at Odette, pauses, and he goes, back in the day.
Ah, I see. And where is everybody else? Since I've never really heard any reports of you guys not traveling together.
I want to roll an insight to see if Dupe would keep this under his hat if I told him things.
Roll it.
Because there is some sensitive stuff that we are to inquire about. 15.
Tell me, would Dupe keep this under his hat or not?
Yeah, Dupe doesn't really know anyone important.
But would he give up information if he was tortured?
I doubt he would really even think that this was relevant information, honestly.
Okay, then. Guige will say, Sariel went back to the Lyra of Zlograda. Glenna, who you know, Glenna went to go meet some pirate friends. Sten went to the Preshswai because a fella told him he was the chosen one. And Eden went to Black Hill to take care of a family thing. I think that's everything.
You guys have been busy.
Kinda? Sort of?
Did Galena go to the Cold Forge with you guys?
No. She went to the Cydonian Footholds.
It's like, dwarves don't do well there.
Yeah, she was getting real fussy when we started to get close. So we had to part ways temporarily.
Did you guys figure out, by any chance, what was causing that to happen to dwarves?
Yeah, you know that big eye monster that lived in the portal that I mentioned? It was that.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was unpleasant. So that monster thing's gone. There's still a lot of like other monsters like oozes, and there were weird little versions of the eye monster, but their eyes were closed, but they're probably not as strong as they were before.
So it's probably safe for dwarves again?
I would say it is no more dangerous now for a dwarf than it would be for anyone else.
Perhaps I could retrieve Moop's remains then.
There was a beholder in there, which might still be floating around. After the dragon's probably the deadliest thing left. So just a heads up on that.
Does Duke know what a beholder is, James?
I think you fought one before, but maybe. We'll just go with yes. At least you know hypothetically what beholders are in the same way that everybody knows kind of what dragons is.
Okay, cool. So those are rather dangerous still, so yeah, the Cold Forge is still generally unsafe.
Yeah, rather than racially unsafe.
Uh-huh.
Man, that place was racist.
It was. That's how you know it's the truest form of evil. It was racist.
And against the ones who built it.
There you go. Is that where you're headed next? Back to the Cold Forge?
Sadly, probably not. Now that I know that Moop is at peace, I could probably leave him there for a little bit longer. I have more pressing matters. I have a debt that I should probably attempt to repay.
What kind of debt?
Well, I owe someone my life. I have no idea where she is, though. Her name was Annabelle Fairweather.
Annabelle Fairweather. When Dupe says, I owe her my life, Guige makes a stupid grin and looks at Odette.
Odette just elbows you and then goes back to listening to the song.
He'll say, okay, well, I thought it was like a financial debt, in which case I was going to like loan you some money if you needed it. Is there anything we can do to help? Well, rather than me, I don't want to volunteer. Is there anything I can do to help you?
If you know anybody that, like, I don't know, knows potential relatives of hers or anything like that, that could be useful, because I have no idea where to start looking.
Annabelle Fairweather. Okay, yeah, I can start looking at that. Oh, you know what? Let me fish out a scroll of sending for Duke. I'm like, here you go. This should help you out. This way, if I find information or you need to reach me.
How do I use this?
Should I just say that Guige explains to Duke how to use a scroll of sending?
So you need to be proficient in Arcana to use scrolls successfully, but Dupe could try. It might be better to just keep a scroll on yourself, because then if you find something out about what he's talking about, then you can send him a message.
Okay, you know, rules corner. When someone uses a scroll of sending and they send a message to someone else, how do they receive the message, James?
Mentally.
Oh, okay, so it's a psychic message.
Like, it's just a voice in their head.
So they don't need to have two scrolls, like ones of, like they're both phones.
No, if you send somebody a message, they can send you back a message. Just basically okay, like the next 25 words they say, or like think purposely, going back into your message.
Okay then. I'm still going to give you this scroll of sending, even if it was more your brother style than yours. Because it feels better to give you away just in case maybe you can find some magic type and hold them at knife point till they use it for you. I don't know. I'm sure you'll run into someone who could help you.
Out of character. Does Dupe know that Guige is from Hadrian's Empire?
I think basically just by looking at him and hearing his accent, you can probably tell.
Okay. You're from Hadrian's, correct?
Yes, I grew up there.
Fairweathers were a pretty powerful family, at least when I knew them. So I don't know if you recognize that name or not.
Oh, so in character, you should have known that. Out of character, I'm now realizing that. So shall I roll for history, James?
Yeah.
And then I have like a ridiculously easy DC check, right? And I failed it. Guige rolled a 4 in history.
You don't recognize that family name, but you do remember, oh, that's Connor's last name.
Oh my god. Holy Toledo, I'm so stupid. Jeez, okay. So I'm going to say right now, out of character for the listener, I really had to go to the bathroom, And like a part of my attention's been divided from what they've been saying. Just so we know that Geege is not a complete idiot, we're going to walk back a little bit before Dupe just asked that question. And we will say that Geege has just been, as I said, actively quote-unquote listening to Odette just because he hasn't been around in a long time. And it takes a moment to realize where he had heard the name Fairweather before, you know, in that letter he wrote to Connor. Wait, Fairweather. Oh, that's Connor's last name. You know someone related to Connor?
Maybe. Who's Connor?
Connor is a friend of mine. He's helping me. Well, you know, he's helping me with my eyes. And Geege points to his head. So wait, you owe... Okay, maybe we should go see Connor. Wait, okay. why is it you owe this person? So Geege will get up and start taking him towards Eden's private room. What do you owe this Annabelle Fairweather?
Well, we were doing some work for her husband, and part of it took us to their house, and when we got there, we met Annabelle, and then there was basically like a big laser bomb blast thingy.
Magic, yeah.
That destroyed their whole like property, and she saved us by like putting up like a cool magic-y barrier, but when she did that, she disappeared, so I don't know to where.
And who was her immediate family? I'm trying to figure out her relation to Connor before we go interrupt him.
Her husband at the time was named Jamie. I don't know any of their other relatives, though.
Okay, then. Let me just check in on Connor, see if he's busy, because he is doing delicate calculations, and it's not like this information is getting any older. He's will knock on the door. Hey, Connor, are you busy?
Yes.
When will you be done?
20 minutes. Give me 20 minutes.
He turns around, looks at Dupin, shrugs.
As you were in the hall doing this, you see Riser Essen step out of his office and sort of like look around in a hasty, stressed out manner. And he spots you and rushes down the hall. He comes up to you and says, Geege, I have something I very much need to tell you, but I think I should do it privately.
Oh, okay, sure. Dupe, would you mind staying with Odette for a bit as I sort this out?
Yeah, no problem.
I'll just tell Connor to meet you guys at the private table. Geege will turn around and shut through the door. Just meet Odette at the private table when you're done.
Okay. As you turn to Riser, and he's not, like, pulling you back into his office. Now that you're alone in the hallway, you can hear the kitchen messily clinking over there. But he leans forward and says, Ushat, the one you hired for security, she just sent an agent, and she says that some people are coming to kill your friend.
Did she say which friend?
He looks down at a tiny scrap of paper, and it says, in a pretty, like, messy scrawl, bad people coming, kill Geege's girlfriend.
Damn, I wish people would stop calling her my girlfriend. No, that's not good. Thanks, Riser. Is there any other details? I think I'm going to have to get Odette and split.
The person also said that we don't pay her for assassin prevention, but the tip was free.
Okay, and as he starts to quickly walk back through the hall with Riser, has anyone gone near the basement?
Only a couple of construction people that we paid very well.
Has anyone disturbed what's in the basement?
No.
Wait, Riser doesn't know what's in the basement, does he?
I assume you had to tell him.
Okay.
Otherwise, he would have stumbled upon it himself.
Right. And Geege will not okay. Okay, good. Just want to make sure the mic and it's are okay. All right, thanks, Riser. I'll get her out of here.
Yes, I would prefer if you left. I don't want any more messes going in. It really hurt our reputation when everything was burned and there was all the fighting. It was terrible.
We don't want to have to redo the carpet twice. Geege will quickly jog around the corner through the door, and he will sign at Odette, danger coming, leave now.
Odette finishes her drink really fast, slaps you on the shoulder, Dupe, and gets up and starts just trotting down the stairway really quick. At this point, I am going to say that it is time to leave the city. Isn't there anything else you want to do that is quick and fast, besides like shopping and other things that you could have done in the time you had before?
Well, I didn't speak to Clara, and I wanted to invest in some property. Also, I wanted to get a message to Eden with a sending scroll about the silver stuff.
Okay, you can do that in the time that you were here before. Also, I think I'll just have you write down your sending, and we can read it to Eden in her game, and then she'll respond. But whatever it is, it isn't affecting you now, because we don't have access to her. And you're right, you didn't talk to Clara. What did you want to talk to Clara about?
Oh, just to say hey to her, and that he recommended her to, oh gosh, what was his name? Super High Cleric Palor.
A couple of days ago, when you do step into her office, she very much reminds you of Kite Staler with just paperwork everywhere. And she looks a little bit haggard. But also when you come in, she gives you a pretty fierce smile and is like, hey, look, it's my guardian angel. and she clearly knows that you're the person who gave her the bump. You are the foot in the door that she needed, and describes that she's been doing her best to get the city back under control and eliminate the last traces of the drug epidemic. And generally, she's also been sort of sorting out the security on all the buildings that had silver in them and the like. Mm. But within like 15 minutes, there are like three or four people waiting out the door for her.
Cool. All right, then. That's all. He just wanted to wish her well and be like, hey, look, you're not Wickerham anymore.
Yeah, she gives you a wry smile this time and is basically like, Wickerham had its charm. Yeah. There were 150 people.
Well, the Empire wasn't built in a day. Just don't wear yourself thin.
I will keep that in mind. Have a good one, Geesh. And thank you again.
Geesh waves.
Okay, as you guys are leaving town, Dupe is under no impetus to leave unless he thinks he's going to get tied up in this.
Would Connor be able to find me as we leave town?
I'm going to assume that you told Connor.
Right.
And he just had to spend 5 minutes packing everything up, throwing all of his junk inside his bottomless bag. And then, as you're leaving the city, he's literally being dragged by you and still riding.
Then I will say that after I finish signing to Odette, I say to Dupe, I don't know if you've got any plans, but if you want to bash some heads and have some good company, feel free to come along.
Well, I suppose so. And plus, your friend is really the only lead I have to go on anyway.
Yeah, he's a real pleasant kid.
I'll take your word for it.
All right. The rest of you spend some time on the road, heading back up to Black Hill, realizing that even the short amount of time that you spent in Hamels is making your trip back kind of hectic, because you know that other people are supposedly going to be meeting you in that time frame, and if you want to make it, you're going to need to hurry. But on the road, let's play out a little bit of you guys talking to Connor about this nonsense.
Sure. There's myself, there's Connor, Odette, and Dupe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I've got my own party. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I imagine at some point, once they get clear of the city, he's just like, yo, look, I got a new shield to do.
Ooh, fancy.
and then eventually it's like, oh, right, you need to talk to Connor.
It's got explodey stuff on the front.
Ooh. Yeah, I can put a thing there, and then I press the button, and spikes come down, and then explosions happen.
Sounds supremely useful.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess we've been traveling for a while, and he'll say, so you wanted to talk to Connor. Connor, do you know someone by the name of Annabelle in your family?
My aunt's name was Annabelle. She died a couple years back.
She's not dead. Or at least I don't think she is.
Wait.
She saved me and my brother, and unfortunately, Iria.
How does he know my aunt?
Oh, this is Dupe.
He helped us defeat the Ghost of the Vlovale. His brother had a hammer that we were going to use to cure Sten, but we didn't get to cure Sten.
Okay, I believe you. All right, so you knew my aunt, and what happened?
Someone tried to kill me and the rest of my friends and my brother. Would I really call Iria a friend? Whatever, that's an inner monologue for later.
You call them an acquaintance. I have a friend like you. You call them an acquaintance.
The rest of my companions.
There you go.
As well as my brother. Someone tried to kill us while we were at your aunt's house, which we did not know was going to happen, otherwise we wouldn't have gone to your aunt's house at that point in time. But nonetheless, she did some pretty awesome magic-y stuff, saved myself and my companions and my brother, and in the process she disappeared. So I assume she teleported somewhere, where I do not know.
Oh wow, she must have actually pulled off a time stop. I always knew my auntie was very talented, I didn't know she was that talented. She should have been an archmage. She should have been First Order. And he, like, looks, he's just, like, continuing to walk and, like, getting more irate about it.
Geesh will cut him off and say, wait, how do you know it wasn't a teleport?
Well, I'm assuming that Dupe describes the events.
Oh, okay.
If the place was supposed to explode, and you had enough time to leave before it did, and then she had enough time to cast another spell to teleport out, she must have pulled off a time stop for herself, so she could do multiple things. Only a few wizards can do that.
She was the most badass magic user I ever encountered.
Well, that's awesome. Hold on. I need to hang out with him. He points at Geesh. Can I come with you?
Come with me where?
No, go with Dupe. I want to find my aunt. I mean, I'll help you until my contract is done, but like, I need to find my family. Supposedly, all my family are dead.
Yeah, I feel like I somehow knew that about your background. Did he tell me that, James?
He might have. I forget now.
It's been quite a way. Sure, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, one, I want you to finish the work so I know what's happening with me, and then two, that way you show the Celestial Tower you've completed your work. But yeah, I mean, I don't own you, Connor. It's up to you two.
What do you say, Dupe? Is it cool if you stick around long enough for me to finish with this guy, and then I can help?
What can you do? I don't really know much about you.
He does all sorts of magic, not as good as what you experienced with his aunt, though.
He does prestidigitation and makes a bunch of sparks and butterflies and flowers and random junk.
He puts his arm out and pushes his hands down. He's like, he can do much better than that.
Can he be my, oh man, what the hell is that freaking guy's name? Can he be my Myrdon?
Avalanche of inconvenience.
I don't know Myrdon. Oh, Dad, do you know Myrdon?
For those who got that reference, bless you, but I'm sorry for everyone else who's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yes, I apologize.
Yes, he can be your Myrdon.
Okay, then yes, Connor, you can help me find... Oh, wow, this is weird that you're asking for permission to look for your own family member.
Well, I'm going to do it myself, but it would be better if I had somebody who I trust through other people that I trust, as opposed to just doing it by myself, which is very dangerous, or hiring somebody random.
You are very trusting, aren't you?
I have heard that it's one of my best characteristics.
He nods in the background.
It could kill you someday.
That's why he needs tanks like us around, Dupe.
I suppose. Well, it doesn't sound like you'll be too much of a burden, so I could use all the help I could get, I guess.
Oh, that's good.
Geesh will then say, "Ben, all things go with the group when I meet up with them in Black Hill. I'd also be willing to come along and help you."
Oh, well, I guess the more the merrier. And then I don't have to get my ass kicked by myself.
Right? Though I should warn you guys, some people seem to want to kill Odette, so we may have to fight them at some point.
I guess she's kind of like your Eerie, huh?
No, she's 100 times more competent.
Ah, well then, lucky you.
Odette is just smirking over there, and like occasionally checking over her shoulder, because the first couple days, you were actually being followed by some people, but they seem to have fallen away.
I guess we continue on to Black Hill after we've learned some people want to kill Odette, and we will, well, at least Dupe will, assist Connor once the contract is complete. And Geesh would like to as well. Oh, Geesh will then say, "What do you think, Odette? I mean, if I do end up going to help Connor and Dupe, you want to come along?"
She shrugs and gives you the "I'll think about it" sign.
Okay.
And then a couple moments later gives you a more complicated string of signs that's basically like, it's safer to be in a group sometimes.
Yeah, I think Odette would be interested if I end up going with you guys.
Okay, cool.
All right, and the lot of you spend a solid 10 day getting back, because that river travel was so fast, and you're just regretting that rivers don't flow both ways when you want them to. And with that, we will wrap for the evening.
Cool!
Thank you for coming again, Alex.
Yeah, of course.
That, Geesh has picked up 3 new party members and a hefty cash reward. But will Geesh, his information, and his cohort reach Eden in time? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes. Let's play out just real quick the shopping and getting locations, possibly. Let's sort that out really fast. Do you have the document with all the shops in it?
No.
Let me give that to you.
And I didn't save the bookmark, because it's a Google Doc and I'm having a hard time reading it.
For shame. Where did it go?
What are we looking for? Potion?
So go to Arcane Shop, the last page.
Oh, it's on the left. Jeez Louise. Okay.
So Hamels is a big town. You can find pretty much everything. Anything that has the urban locale X on it, that means you can find it there.
Oh, here we go. Okay. And this would be done before Dupe showed up, right?
Yeah.
Damn, because I would have been like, yo, Dupe, let's go. Let me get you some goods to equip for this adventure. You'll have to be satisfied with like whatever Black Hill has.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, Dupe can have also shopped before this as well.
That's true. So urban locale, and then scrolls.
Spell scroll is something you would find the sending under. I'm trying to remember what level sending is at.
The third level spell. Jeez Louise, that's pricey. 500 GP. Man, I don't think I'd be so generous with them sending scrolls if I realized they were that much.
Well, you are a rich man now.
That's true. Should we do some rolls to see if I'm able to get the price down?
Sure.
Okay. Just what roll persuasion, or just tell you how I want to approach this?
Just roll persuasion as you come in and attempt to haggle the magicians down.
I want to be like, yo.
Actually, hold on. So do the haggle and then buy a scroll of sending. And then after that, you're paying the lower price because Connor is helping you. Because Connor can just write those spells at cost.
Noise. Okay. And the way I'd persuade them is be like, I walk in, I've got my Order of the Silver Crescent. 22.
So you're buying that first one at 375.
Noise. And then the cheap ones are, and then every one that follows that, it's by Connor, it's cheaper.
It's 300.
Okay, then I'm going to get a special one for Odette.
Okay, so the special one is going to cost 350.
Okay. Can Connor do sending on his own?
Yeah, he can just cast sending.
Oh, cool. And then she's going to pay 350. I mean, hers would be 350. Okay, so that's 1,025 for my sending scrolls.
How many scrolls of sending do you want?
Well, you said he can do sending on his own, right?
Right.
So just one for myself, one for Dupe, and one for her.
Oh, so only three.
Yeah. And then Dupe will just have to, like, cost some magic user to be like, yo, use this paper phone.
1,025.
And then magic potions. Because I don't do the heals so good. Mm-hmm. That's Arcane Shop, right?
Mm-hmm. What
the hell is Arcane Focus?
Obviously most casters focus. Need one to cast.
Right, that makes sense. Okay. Druidic Focus. Ah. See, now I can actually buy potions, because one, I got a bunch of money, and two, I've already got quite a few poisons on me already, as I don't need them.
So potions of healing are common. The lowest tier of them are common. You are not going to be able to find the best kind of healing potion
in
stores. Maybe even the top two levels of that, unless you're like at the arcane center. That would be a place where you might find one, or with like the archdruid or something like that.
Sure. But the primo stuff.
Potions. Where
the
potions?
Urban locale.
Yeah. Lesser healing is common. Greater healing is uncommon. Superior
what does
2d4
plus 2 usually get for in terms of health?
Average. Let's see. 6 HP. Average.
Okay. So about 6. What do you think, Alex? What would be some good ones to pick up? Potions of lesser healing or potions of greater healing? I think some uncommons?
Yeah, it seems like a plan.
My recommendation as a GM is get a couple of bigger ones.
So with greater healing?
Yeah, greater or supreme. Superior, I mean.
Uncommon.
Because you can find the superior healings. You just can't find the supreme healings.
Some uncommons?
Yeah, it seems like a plan.
Okay, then. Should I continue to go with that same persuasion, James?
No, this would be a different store.
Okay, then.
Because you would go to a scribe, an arcane scribe for the first one, and then this would be an alchemist.
I'm going to say I bring Connor along. I'm like, yo, Connor, mention how cool I am.
Okay, so Connor's going to roll to assist you?
Yes.
Because he's going to be able to know whether they're conning you or something like that.
Yes.
He's not trying to talk you up. He's just going to tell you if you're being screwed. He tells you, he's like, I'm not really good at talking to people.
You don't have to talk to people. You just talk to me and tell me how great it was that I helped prevent a war. And then they'll hear us.
Okay. And he goes in and...
Never mind. Just tell me.
It's too late now.
Well, you already went and rolled it. All right. So no help from Connor.
No help from Connor. Connor just overblown talks you up and it just seems cartoonish and weird.
For Christ's sake, I critically failed it.
So you were going to pay money and then get a healing potion.
What do you mean?
You were going to pay 175 and get a potion.
I don't know if it's good or not.
No, it's absolutely a healing potion.
But I don't know if it's a greater healing potion.
Yeah, it's a healing potion.
Well, I'm going to ask Connor to take a look at it then.
He tells you it's a healing potion.
He can't roll to tell me if it's a greater healing potion or not.
He could take it out and reduce its effectiveness a little bit by exposing it to air and other things. He tells you that, like, basically the potion will be lessened by giving it a thorough examination.
Then I'd like to go to a different potion shop, try to buy a greater healing, and then just have him tell me if they're cheating me.
Okay, so you've already bought this potion, and you're going to go to another potion shop and get a better one?
I wanted to get, like, at least two greater healing potions.
So you've got one healing potion. And then you go to another shop and try it again. And this time you say, don't talk me up. Just take a look at this thing. Okay.
How would I have him take a look at it to determine this? Like, explain to me how that would even work.
He has to unstopper the cap, pour some out, test its properties.
And then he would tell me before I buy it, right?
No, in this one, if he's rolling Arcana, he's walking around the shop and doing it by like knowing the trade.
And then what do I roll?
You roll Persuasion at advantage as you haggle. Because he rolled a 22.
I rolled a critical succeed with 25.
Okay, you are going to get a superior healing potion for 375. You have an opportunity to get a superior healing potion for 375. or you can get a greater healing potion for 175.
Isn't greater healing a common? Well, no, I'd want to haggle it lower than 375. That's expensive.
Do you realize what I just said?
No, we're going to buy them again.
The rare one for the price of the expensive uncommon one, which is an absurd... Oh, it's basically like this person made a mistake. And helps you out, and he's like, this potion is mislabeled.
Oh, so it's supreme healing.
No, it's superior.
Oh, it's rare, not uncommon. Okay, sure. I'll take that then.
Okay, so you have a healing potion and a superior healing potion. Okay, cool. Anything else? You wanted to invest in some property also.
Jeez, I wonder if I want to now.
But you've been burning through your cash.
How much did I spend on sending scrolls and potions?
Let's see. You spent 1,025 on sending scrolls and 550 on potions.
Okay. And that's what?
That's 1,575.
So how would it work? So I give them an investment and then it pays out for who knows how long?
It pays out as long as they're in business.
Okay then. So here's what I was thinking of doing. Gigi would approach Ushat to see if she'd want to open up an actual security detail. A legit one. Because there's always fancy pants type people coming in. Which I'm sure would be very hard to do. At least she would not be down. Then he would try Noodle Shop. Oh, I didn't even get to talk to Sneak. Damn. He'd go talk to Noodle Shop, man. And if all else failed, he'd go to poor Boris and be like, Boris, let me get you a workshop. Let me buy you a workshop. And I will
actually see that Boris is not there.
Oh, he's not there, really?
Mm-hmm. Boris is gone.
And right, like, I was thinking if Dupe had come earlier, then I'd be like, yo, Dupe, help me talk to this guy and help me buy him a business. And then I can make bank off it. You know him, right? You must know him.
No, you ask around town on one of the days, and Boris is just not there.
Okay, then
so
I
far,
would try...
Or he's hiding. Who knows?
Jeez Louise. I would try Ushat, and then I would try Noodle Shop.
Okay, how do you go about approaching Ushat?
Because I am Gij Loosebolt. I walk in as if I've done absolutely nothing wrong, and I'm completely oblivious to the fact that she sees I'm a threat, that she thinks I'm a threat.
Okay, and your pitch is to open up a legit front?
Yeah. And my big thing to win her over is like, if your men aren't doing assassinations and they're just security detail, there's a greater chance they won't die and then you can keep more men on hand.
So she, as you come in, like reacts to you pretty much the same way. But this time, as you come in, there are six burly men in the room.
Can I say Odette is with me?
If you want to bring her, yeah.
Yes.
She still reacts the same way as you are taking the front and... She informs you that desperation is good for business, and she's been doing rather well and has more than 50 men under her employ now.
So she's good? She's not into that idea?
No, we haven't got to that point yet.
Okay.
She tells you that they're mostly green, but very loyal and eager, because she runs a protection racket for more than half of the town now.
Hmm.
She seems dubious about this upfront security business because it seems like if you were upfront, you would have to renegotiate all of your security things, and then you can't make accidents happen to people who don't pay.
He agrees. It's a fair point. You know, there's more paperwork if you're upfront.
Do you want to try to persuade her that this is a, it seems like you were like, this is a safer line of work for you and your men?
Yeah, he's going to barely try to convince her because she's making a good point. It's true. It's a lot easier if she's not upfront and legit. Can I make a lukewarm persuasion?
If you make a lukewarm persuasion, it's just not going to work. It's not a role. It's like, she's like, you don't even seem like you believe it. But if you really want to try to make her change direction in her own company, you can make an appeal. Hey, it's a safer business, even if it's not as lucrative.
Okay, first thing I want to do is I want to... How much are we paying her for the Eve's Lucky Coin?
It's part of Eve's Lucky Coin's operating cost.
Can I persuade her to go lower? Because really all I wanted her to do was to have someone like just check the basement to make sure the mushrooms are okay.
She advises you that what you are paying her is a discount already. And she's doing it as a personal favor to Eden.
All right, fair enough.
And that like we can always renegotiate after your building burns down.
Is that a threat?
She, like, leans back and says, no, I wouldn't burn the building down because it's you in here. If it were Eden in here threatening me, yes.
Wait, what does that mean? She's now confused.
It means she thinks it's funny that you're trying to deal with her when you are not the person who owns the establishment you're talking about.
I understand what you're saying, but Gij would continue to look puzzled as if he's trying to do math in his head. And slowly go, okay. Well, all right. I just wanted to pitch the idea to you, you know, having an actual business detail, security detail. But you make a good point. I mean, it's easier this way. I'm just saying, if you ever change your mind in the long run, Let me know.
Okay, make a persuade at disadvantage. That's what it sounds like you're doing.
Yeah, he's not 100% sold on the idea. Roll the 10.
Yeah, she is basically says, I appreciate your offer, but no, I think I'll stick with my own means.
He nods and says, it's good seeing you. Anyways.
Always a pleasure.
Now go to Noodle Shop Man.
Okay, Noodle Shop Man.
Wasn't he previously a former adventurer? Like, I remember he, like, I got the vibes that, like, he was a tough boy who wanted to settle down and have his own shop.
You definitely got the vibe that he was a tough boy. Whether he wanted to settle down or not, who knows?
Okay, then. I go in.
Okay.
With Odette. Or actually, maybe I go in the back. And I have to go in there anyway because Ushat's place is through the basement.
When you ask around for where Odette is, you get taken into a store, and then you get taken to an attic. Like, clearly that's not the only place that she has. It's just the hideout you saw.
All right, so Odette and I go into the noodle shop, and I guess we get lunch. Actually, can I bring Connor? Like, Connor will probably speak pretty good High Goblin, right?
Oh, yeah. Connor welcomes going to get some food.
Right, because he's eaten there before. So I'll bring Connor with me, and as we're eating, I then ask the noodle chef if he would want to expand his business, because I say I really like his food, and I felt that, you know, maybe he might want to get more tables in here and have more customers, because it is a relatively small shop, as I recall.
It is kind of a hole in the wall. He looks around. He says in High Goblin, basically, this is as many people as I can serve myself.
Well, you could hire on someone and then have more tables.
I prefer to do all the cooking myself, but thank you very much for your kind offer.
Harumph. Can I roll anything, I guess an investigation, to get more of like what his background was?
Actually, do...
Know your enemy?
Yeah, basically you do know your enemy. Hmm. As he walks around behind the counter. And he actually comes out and he says, what you've offered is a compliment and I don't want you to think I'm rejecting you out of hand. And he like pours you some Avzal sake just on the house.
That's respectable. So then not to just like build himself up, I'll say that Guige, when he's getting Connor caught up in everything, and Odette too, about what happened to the Cold Forge and stuff, he'll tell to them as they're eating dinner there.
Are you doing this deliberately so you can be overheard?
Sort of. I mean, I don't know how much comedy he's going to understand. But he's speaking more freely than he normally would. Like, he's not speaking so privately about it.
Okay, so which stats are you checking out from this guy?
Jeez, I can only check out... I mean, all these things are combat specific. His HP, I don't even know if he's a fighter. Can I do an investigation to see if he's a fighter or what class he might be?
That's one of the things you can see is what level of fighter he is if he's a fighter.
I can't do something ahead of time to see if he is?
No, that's what that ability does. I can't just give it to other people because that takes away what's special about Guige.
That's true.
I mean, okay. You could ask.
I will say I'm going to check his HP. Armor check wouldn't really matter because he's not really in armor, so.
Yeah, he's less armored than you.
HP, his strength, and, I don't know, con.
What's your HP?
Currently 77.
His HP is higher than yours.
Whoa!
And what were the other things?
Strength and con.
His strength is lower than yours, and his con is, what's your con?
Bonus or the base stat?
The base stat.
14.
His con is higher than yours.
Whoa. Hardcore. Yeah, so I'll just talk about my adventures and what's been happening. Just because even if it doesn't like make him think this dude's cool, he just might like enjoy hearing the story.
It seems like he does. As you're awaiting and like eating your meal and other people come in, you kind of get the vibe that that's just sort of what he enjoys doing, is like listening to people's lives.
Mm-hmm. But he's not down for the offer I made. And I'll just tell him, you know, I'll be in town the next few days, and he's lucky coin if he uses mine.
He nods at you, and it was a gracious offer.
And then I guess I go. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else in town I would try and make some sort of business opportunity with? I don't think there is there? Horse isn't there. Stint, well, I couldn't do anything with Stint anyway.
There was that wine satchel place.
Oh, I guess let me go to the textile lady.
Oh, yes. Textile lady's all about it.
People need clothes. Okay, sure.
Like, you don't even need to persuade. She's like, what, you want to invest? How much?
She's close to the market, right?
Yes, she's just off the south. I forget. She's one of the stores on the edge of the market. I'm trying to remember what it was called, though. We're going to have to look that up. The name was Nesbitt's Textiles and Mending, as Mark looked it up.
Okay, then. I'll work it out with her. Does she seem to be able to do her own bookkeeping?
Oh, yeah. She seems proficient.
Nice.
You get the vibe that she knows what's up, but give me an insight.
And before her business has been failing, I rolled a 17 in insight.
You absolutely get the feeling that she is not corrupt or like trying to screw you over. It's, oh, hell yeah, somebody wants to invest in my shit. Woo.
Cool. Yeah, she was talking trash on Atno with Sten, so. And, we bought Connor's clothes there.
Yeah, so she isn't super suspicious because she's like, oh yeah, you bought some clothes here. Like, clearly just appreciated my craft. Mm-hmm. And Connor comes with you and is like, yeah, those clothes are awesome. They're good. I still have them. And he like pulls them out of his satchel.
I don't, just don't wear the makeup, Connor.
But yes, I'm going to have to figure out how much money that place generates and how much it costs and all that BS. But that can definitely be a location you invest in and have partial ownership of.
And over time, does Noodle Chef Man appear and be like, yo, I like that offer, actually?
No. I'm gonna spoil that for you. He does not.
All right, well, just got some props with him. All right.
Ushat doesn't protect him. He protects Ushat.
I was getting that vibe because he's the front of one of her safe houses. Like, he's hardcore.
Yeah, he has like goblins who work in the back, but they don't cook. They just clean.
Yeah. All right, then.
All right, cool. I will cut this off for now, and then I'm going to kick it with Alex for a bit.
Sure. Sorry you sat around for this, Alex.
It's all good.